Well, hey everybody, welcome to our online service. My name is Josh Erickson and I am one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And I have the pleasure of welcoming you to our online service whenever you might be watching it. If you're new or newer to Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, we're so glad you found our channel. And if you haven't done so, whether you're new or been around for a while, why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and even look for that bell just to remind you when we're getting new services or content put out there so you don't miss what's going on at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. Well, today we're going to be exploring how important it is to be people who are willing to invite others to the faith journey and why we should be confident that we can do it because we are all equal in the eyes of God. Again, we hope our time is a blessing to you whenever you might be watching it. Well, if you've been with us for the past few weeks, we've been exploring these three dimensions of generosity for our church. And these aren't just dimensions of generosity for people that are a part of the Park Ridge Presbyterian Church family. These are really kind of dimensions of generosity for everybody. But we've been talking about what it looks like for people who claim PRPC to be their church home, that each one of us is called to invest ourselves into the life of our church and into the ministry of caring for our neighbors. And those dimensions of generosity that we've been exploring are reminding ourselves that there are volunteer opportunities that everybody needs to take a turn on when we're talking about some in-person things. There's also a financial commitment that we need to be making to our church. And we've been talking about this goal of having 200 adults that are giving at least $2,000 a year each. And if we do that, that'll help us reach some of our financial goals of sustainability so we can keep moving forward in our ministry. And then there's that call and opportunity for people to experience transformational leadership where they get to be involved with the leadership opportunities that are part of our church. There are so many great opportunities for people to use their gifts, their abilities, their talents, to help our church be a more faithful, a more effective, and a more compassionate church. Because the more compassionate we are, the better we live into God's calling for us. Now, we've been framing this up with a sense of both how this is reasonable, because when you say these things, it checks out in our heads, and if you add it all up, the math will add up, and the opportunities to serve in aggregate make sure that we can do what we're doing. But then it also sounds a little unreasonable because there are so many conditions and so many challenges we're facing in life. And people have time limits, people have financial limits, people have served and they're burned out. These are realities of all the things we're working with for each and every one of us. And so when we think about what it looks like for us to invest ourselves in our church, we need to do it wisely and carefully. And we need to do it without feeling guilt for what we can't do reasonably or safely in our lives. But when we get to the end of this, what we realize is that we are putting a lot of time and energy and effort into our church, and we should be proud of that. We don't want to be prideful. Pride comes before the fall, but we want to be proud. We want to be able to say we're doing the best that we can and we're making a difference in our lives and in the people's whose lives we care about the most. But when we invest this much, what we have to remember is that we are doing this so indeed other people can experience this blessing, so that other people can be welcomed into the life of our church and experience the gift of God's grace and God's transforming love, which is really this unreasonable love because we don't deserve it, but God gives it to us anyways. We don't deserve it and God gives us forgiveness anyways, and this is super unreasonable, actually. God looks at that and goes, well, it's actually reasonable from God's perspective because God can't help but love us. God can't help but to forgive us, and God can't help but give us second chances. But it's interesting how what seems reasonable to God feels unreasonable to us, and sometimes what we see as unreasonable, God is like, you got to try. Now, one of the realities of this is when we think about inviting people to experience church with us or to come and check out our church or to check out our YouTube channel, even for that matter, we might feel a little weird about it. And there's a lot of different reasons why people might feel weird about inviting a friend, inviting a family member to come and check out our church with them. Now, I hope it's not because you think we're going to do something weird or awkward and you're like, I can't imagine wanting to have somebody around for that. We're a pretty consistent and I would say pretty normal church that people aren't going to walk away from and going like, well, that's a bunch of weirdos. It could happen, I guess, but normally we're pretty chill. But one of the things that happens is when we get into the mindset of trying to invite somebody to join us in the journey, to experience that we're blessed and we want to share that blessing, is that we worry sometimes about people thinking that we're going to be more holier than thou. People start worrying about things like they're going to think I'm a hypocrite because I don't get it all right all the time and I'm telling them to come and be a part of this. And then there's also a sense that we might just simply have people think that if by inviting them, we're just saying that we're better than them. And that is all true. Those are really reasonable concerns that you might have. But if we remember that there's a way that we want to look at this, then we will remember that we can make a true and impartial and just genuine invitation to somebody to be a part of it. And that is that we want to remember we want something for them much longer before we want something from them. And even really when we get to that from them part, like invitations to invest in the church of the different kinds of generosity, we really believe that it's because we want them to experience the goodness of giving, the goodness of serving, the goodness of volunteering, because we know how important that is to live a good and whole life to do those things. And we often get caught up in this worrisome viewpoint that people are just going to be thinking that we're just thinking we're better than them. But if we have another view to remember that we're all equals, that we all need God's love and God's forgiveness and healing, then if we come to them saying, you know what, I'm just someone who has experienced God's healing and God's grace, and I want you to experience the same thing, not because I'm better than you, but just because I've been there and I know what it looks like, then we come to them humbly and we come to them without that sense of pretense and false conceptions of us being better than them. Now, there's this amazing interaction that Jesus has. It's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the beginning of the New Testament, those four epic stories of Jesus' life, where Jesus is encountering some people who are unwell. There are 10 of them in particular, and they have leprosy. Now, if you have heard that term before, you might be familiar with it, but if you haven't, leprosy is sort of a general issue of skin conditions that people had back in the ancient days. And it was a very dangerous disease because it was actually like a flesh-eating bacteria. And if you got it, you could start to lose fingers and limbs if you did not get healed of it. In particular, because it was so dangerous, what would happen is if you got leprosy, you'd be kicked out of the community. You'd be kicked out of the center of life. And in particular, if you were Jewish, you weren't allowed to worship anymore. You weren't allowed to go to the temple, which means you couldn't be forgiven of your sins. And therefore, God wasn't going to love you or like you or even want you around, and neither would the people. So Jesus encounters these 10 lepers. And because Jesus is who Jesus is, Jesus does an amazing thing. Jesus heals them of their leprosy. And there are 10 people that Jesus heals who then have had their entire life restored. They might have been separated from their families and they can go back to their families. They might have been unable to work because they were sick or because they were diseased and just ostracized and they could go back to work. And for many of them, they would have been able to then go back to the religious community, be a part of religious life again, which was vital for anyone's purpose and survival then like it could be today. And Jesus does this beautiful thing for them. And then they go on their way and they're happy. And then the story is sort of hits a pause because what's interesting is there are 9 of these lepers who never come back to Jesus. They just simply go on their way and are very apparently grateful perhaps for their healing, but don't come back to tell Jesus anything. But there's this one very wise and one very smart leper who comes back and is praising Jesus, praising God, thanking Jesus for healing them, and Jesus is grateful that he shows up. Now, there's this interesting twist as the way the story is recorded in Luke. Jesus says, "Were there not 10 that I healed and only one came back?" And then Jesus points out, and the one who came back is the Samaritan, which in Jesus' terms and in Jesus' day, because he was Jewish, means the one person who is the outsider, who had no reason to come back, actually, no obligation to come back like the other ones might have, is the one who came back. And Jesus praises this foreigner, as they say, for his willingness to come back and show God's gratitude. Now, that last little bit there about who that person was matters in a lot of ways, but that's a conversation at large for another time. But what I want us to see, and what I hope we can hear, and hopefully God comes alive as we hear that story from the Gospel of Luke, is that the reality is that every single one of us are equal because we all need God's healing. Not a single one of us is really better than the other. The only difference between someone who is healed is that they got healed first and know that they've been healed. And that's what I think the framework that can help us understand why and how we should invite people to be a part of our church and be a part of the community of faith is simply that we are all people who need healing. No one's better than the other. Just simply, it's a matter of time and a matter of place. Somebody had to be healed first, and then it's somebody else's turn. And one of the ways that we show gratitude for the fact that we know we've been healed, that know that we've been forgiven, to know that we have been given God's grace, is to be the people who show gratitude by inviting others. Because we're equals, and we know we need God's love. Now, the other thing is, just because you have been healed once doesn't mean you'll not need to be healed again. Just because you've been forgiven one time doesn't mean you're perfect and have it done again. There's that phrase that people are like, well, the church, you know, seems to be filled with people who got it together. No, the church is filled with people who know they need God's love. The church is filled with people like me who know we need help getting it right. We are people who need Jesus, and we want to invite others into that. So remember that when you think about then doing all this work of investing yourself in our church, take that next step and invite someone into the journey with you. Invite them to come sit with you, invite them to have a meal with you after church, invite them to come to church and stay for a coffee hour if it's in person. Share this video with them or another one where you hear something that inspires you, might inspire them. But when you do it in a way where you simply recognize that we're all equal, we're all in need of healing, you'll make that invitation in a way that is genuine and winsome. Now, this is where that unreasonable thing filters in one more time. And that is, when you say this, when you think about it, it sounds reasonable, right? You've invested yourself in something you care about, you would want to share it with others. But it also feels unreasonable as well, because we're worried about what other people think. If we have the right posture, if we have the right position of our hearts, we'll make that invitation, recognizing we're simply all people who need God. That's what's both reasonable and unreasonable for us. It's reasonable to say we all need God. It's unreasonable to remember that's every single one of us. God really wants us to share the blessing of God's grace, God's love, and the community of faith with others. Let's take that unreasonable step and make that invitation so the people we care most about can experience the same thing we have, which is God's love and grace and forgiveness. Would you please pray with me? God, we thank you that you have given us a sense of connection and a sense of community. And God, we give you thanks for all who consider Park Ridge Presbyterian Church their church home. And God, as we might be someone who fits into that category or someone who is trying to figure out faith, God, we simply ask that you help us to understand what it means to be a part of this community. And because of that, how we can faithfully and carefully invite people to be a part of it. God, we know you have called us to invest as we can in our lives, to invest ourselves in our church, that you have called us to be generous with everything that we have to give back, which is that which you have given to us first. But God, help us to take that next step, which is to go out in faith and invite people to join us in the journey. God, help us to do so in a way where we simply recognize that we are all equally in need of your healing and your love, that we're no better than one another, but simply people who you love, and that makes us people that can love one another. God, we ask that you help us to be both reasonable as we go forward and as unreasonable as we can, doing what you have called us to do. We pray this in your name. Amen.